This is STD Podcast. We speak with the president and president-elect of the American STD Association, Dr. Dennis Fortenberry and Dr. Bobby Vanderpool. ASTDA is the organization behind the journal Sexually Transmitted Diseases, but it has a number of other initiatives as well. Dennis, could you expand a bit on that?
ASTDA has always supported the development of scientific research and focused on young investigators. Over the past few years, we've made investments in the career development of one or two scientists per year. More recently, we've made commitments to training of a broader group of individuals to introduce them to each other, to create a cohort spirit, to introduce them to leaders in the field as mentors, as people that they can reach out to really help enrich new generations of people who are committed scientifically and clinically and programmatically to the field of sexually transmitted infections.
And so what are some of the future projects that you're envisioning? Bobby, maybe I'll bring you into the discussion here as well.
So we have two activities that we're putting a fair amount of preparatory activity into right now that will happen in 2018. One of those will be a standalone workshop that will invite early career investigators and academicians and industry members, as well as public health practitioners, to talk about how these three groups intersect and how, if we talk to each other and build a network with each other, we can actually harness some of that energy to provide improved services and everybody go in the same direction. And I think that's a really exciting opportunity. We're looking forward to that. The other one will occur just prior to the STD prevention meeting, which will be held in Washington, D.C. in August of 2018. And that will be a half-day workshop where we'll bring together people early in their careers in STI prevention and control work and help them, again, link with existing people in the field in order to find opportunities, help them learn about how to publish, help them learn about how to find research dollars, if that's what their interest lies in. And again, I think as we consider that our workforce is aging, we think it's really important to be proactive about encouraging younger people to be active in this field, because STIs are not a really hot topic. It's not a really hot funding topic, so we have to be energetic in our efforts.
Right. So how will you identify potential candidates for these programs that you're talking about?
Will depend a lot on the membership of ASTDA and their collaboration networks of identifying people who have indicated an interest in the area, maybe have started down that road through their fellowship or the early faculty careers, encourage them to apply, and then hopefully we will have space for quite a lot of them.
And so are you also envisioning then to bring in mentors? Are you thinking about maybe pairing them up?
I don't think the pairing will be a one-on-one pairing per se, but I think it will be a group of people that will be a small enough group in the room that perhaps if I meet you and I'm going, "Ooh, it's Dr. Rietmeyer and I've read all of his work and now I actually know him and I've had a conversation with him. So now I feel more comfortable getting in touch with you when I have questions or when I want to do something that builds off what you've already done." Mm-hmm. And so hopefully we can have people that are like-minded enough that they could potentially bounce ideas off of each other, but hopefully it's more of a network than a one-on-one pairing, I think.
Uh-huh. And you also mentioned bringing in the industry.
Yeah, we're very excited about that. I think, again, I'm going to share this example about vaccine research where we've had investigators do investigator-initiated studies that were paid for by industry to look at whether or not vaccines would be acceptable, because we still struggle with how to get uptake of vaccines to be where we want it to be in this country. So this type of research benefits the end user. It doesn't benefit only the sponsor that paid for it. And this is the thing that many people in the field today aren't aware of, and they don't know that you can approach industry with your own research ideas and that you can potentially get funding that's not available through federal sources any longer.
you know, with young investigators. I'm also thinking about how you're going to circle this back to the journal.
Well, we've already completed activities at recent meetings where we involved editors of journals, and especially the current editor of Sexually Transmitted Diseases, Bill Miller, to help young people think about publishing, think about the challenges of publishing, and work through some of the details of that, help make a paper more acceptable through the peer review process and even through the publication process. That's important, and I think we'll continue to do that. It's an important exercise. I think in addition, as we work through creating these cohorts of people that have had the same experience, they'll be helping each other with this process as well. Mm-hmm. And hopefully, our hope is that they will choose sexually transmitted diseases as an outlet.
And I think the other thing is that with the initiative that we're planning for February, that we'll have industry there, one of the things that industry wanted to get from this meeting was they want to understand where the field needs them to go. You know, they do a 5 or 10 year plan in product development. They don't want to develop a product we don't want or need. So they would like to engage with us about where we want to go. And I'm hopeful that after this meeting, we'll be able to produce a white paper or, you know, some such commentary that will explain the position of what the field is asking for and perhaps industry's position about what the barriers are to getting to where we want them to be. So I hope that we can do things like that that maybe are not the product of research exercises per se, but more of a, this is our field, this is where we're going, engage in the conversation.
Publications, that's one thing that young investigators could probably use or desire sort of mentorship around. The other area is around grants and the granting process. So are you involving those folks as well? Or
yeah, I think we will actually invite some of the representatives from NIH, NIAID, CDC, others that may fund research, at least to talk about the funding process, how decisions are made, and even thinking about how to make sure that the applications that you write resonate to funding priorities and that you know what those funding priorities are.
Right, and even I think some of the activities will be around discussing how to find what the funding opportunities are. You know, not everybody knows where to look, not everybody's on the right listserv, so they don't always get the announcements saying, oh, here's a new RFA, or here's a new FOA, or all these acronyms that young investigators may not be familiar with, and I think that's, again, part of what we're trying to help them get through.
Well, it sounds really wonderful. Good luck with it. Thank you, Dr. Dennis Fortenberry and Dr. Bobby Vanderpool. SD Podcast is produced by Ben Westergaard for the Internet and SD Center of Excellence. This is Case Rietmeyer for SD Prevention Online.